8 and yards. That's 1-800-836-9278. We've got a handful of stories we'll cover on tonight's show. And this week, this is our last week of broadcast in Indiana. Let's see, where? In South Bend, Indiana, Rochester, New York. And actually, some of the affiliates, it's still up in the air exactly what day we're going off. But we should be going off everywhere but Denver, Colorado, by the end of June. So some of you guys out there in New Orleans or, Knoxville or Springfield, Massachusetts, it's been a lot of fun being on the air with you for all this time. Some of you, a couple of years it's been. We've been doing the show for over 12 years now, Bubba Neert Live. And we're going to be regrouping and falling back to just our flagship station here in Denver at KLTT 670 AM in Denver, Colorado. And so we've got just another couple shows, but we plan on having a good time. Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. All right, Canada is thinking of decriminalizing marijuana, and people are living longer. Little letter to the editor in the Rocky Mountain News about that. Want to get to that. How old are you expected to live to? What's your life expectancy? And let's see, 9% of all drivers lie. 91% of drivers admit to engaging in at least one risky activity while driving in the last 6 months. 9% lie. That's a good poll. Who did that poll? Homosexual issue stirs the church, the largest Presbyterian church. Once again, what is it, every year they debate whether to allow homosexuals to be ordained? And, you know, the Presbyterian Church USA is just, it's virtually pagan. And is it as bad as the United Methodist Church? Well, it's heading in that direction. But, you know, these churches are flat out evil, whereas there's still, you know, there are some denominations that are still godly, although generally the older an institution gets, the more godless it becomes, groups that start out as Christian. But, you know, what's bizarre, I think, is that churches get together to vote on things. They get together once a year, once every couple of years, and they have votes like, should we accept abortion? Should we accept homosexuals? Should we do this? And I could see these pagan, formerly Christian churches. I understand why they would do it. But why do good Christian groups, like let's say the Southern Baptist, that's a good Christian group for the most part. You got some individual congregations that are lost. But for the most part, Southern Baptist is still alive. It won't be forever. It will die like other mainline denominations because that's the way of the world. You can't put new wine into old wineskins. So eventually, even that will die. But what are they going to say to God when the good guys and the Southern Baptists get to heaven and God says, why did you vote on my law? I say, huh? Yeah, why did you vote on sexual immorality, fornication, homosexuality? What gave you the idea that it was appropriate for you guys to vote on my law? Where do you come off doing that? What's with that? Did the prophets get together and vote whether murder or stealing or kidnapping should be acceptable? So anyway, the Presbyterians are at it again. We'll get to that. And the Denver judge who threw out the death penalty for a murderer, Robert Harland, he threw out the death penalty because two of the jurors consulted the law. And they actually read the law. And so the judge said, that's it, I'm throwing out the death penalty. How's that one? Now, I don't understand that story. Maybe somebody could explain that to me. Now you can't even read the law. So that's weird. Death penalty given to this murderer. Two jurors consulted the law and the judge threw out the... All right, there you go. The jurors have to be totally ignorant. If they're totally ignorant, then they'll be good jurors. What else? Bill Clinton, he wants a change in presidential term limits. Isn't that funny? This is a Washington Post story out today. Bill Clinton said today that Congress should change the 22nd Amendment that limits a person to two terms in the White House. That's pretty funny. Well, see that? Just him being, as long as he's alive, that's going to be harder to pull off. So then we've got North Carolina State University is criticizing Phil Donahue. He spoke at their graduation. What did they expect him to say? They invited him. What a stupid thing to invite him and then criticize him. What did they expect him to say? It's Phil Donahue. All right, let's go through some of these stories here. By the way, our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. All right, 91% of drivers say that they speed, eat, use cell phones, or even read while they're at the wheel. 91%, 73% of drivers say they speed. 59% say they eat while they're driving. 37% say they use cell phones. 28% say they have worn no seat belts one or more times in the last 6 months. So altogether, 91% of drivers admit to engaging in at least one risky activity in the last 6 months. 9% lie. 9% lie. Now, what do I do? Do I speed? Yes, I speed. I remember sitting at a red light, in South Bend, Indiana at about 3 in the morning. And the red light was on Ironwood, and it was just interminably long. And it's 3 in the morning. There's no one coming in either direction. It's just dead. And this light, it's got to be a two-minute light. And I'm sitting there with a friend of mine after we did the show late at night. And a pickup truck comes up behind us, slows down a little bit, goes off to the on the right side of the road, the shoulder, passes us, goes right through the red light. And I looked at my friend and said, "There goes a great American." Listener-supported radio, in principle. Bob and Yurt Live, this is a commercial break, and we are listener-supported radio. Our phone number, you could call in or use it to find out. Give us a call if you'd like to order our monthly Bible study albums. For $34.95 a month, you could get a Bible study album, audio tapes, mailed to you every month. Genesis, Exodus, Deuteronomy, the New Testament, John, the Book of Revelation, oh, and Romans, one of my favorites. And then topics like predestination and free will, the overview of the whole Bible. It's so much fun to study the Bible, to take it seriously, and a money-back guarantee. So give us a call, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Or you could go on the internet at our website, kgov.com, and check out our online store. It lists every Bible study album we have. You can look at the details, see what it's about. It's a lot of fun. You could order them one at a time or just sign up for the monthly Bible study subscription, $34.95 a month. Or if you like videos, we've got our monthly videos for $24.95 a month or the monthly sermons from Denver Bible Church. Hey, and by the way, if you're going to be visiting Denver, if you live in the area, come on out to Denver Bible Church Sunday mornings and Sunday nights. Visit us on the web at denverbiblechurch.org. And for those of you who listen to Bob and Yurt Live in some of the cities that we are going off the air in over the next month, please remember you can get to us on the web at kgov.com or call us at 800-8-NYART, 800-836-9278. 9278. And, you know, for those who are real interested in Bob Inert Live and want to support us, want to get our materials, not sure what's first, what's best, you know, one thing you could consider is the Inert Library. It's a one copy of every title we have, every audio tape, every video, every work of literature. And it how much is the Inert Library? $14.95? $13.95. You save $14.95, you save $400 as compared to buying everything separately. Because we have what, 35 Bible study albums, 25 videos, 38 Bible study albums? 38. So consider, go online and check out the Inert Library. So 1-800-8-INERT, 1-800-836-9278. We've got, so these drivers, some of the drivers admit they speed. Now, in my experience, I drive. I don't drive nearly as much as the average person because I work at home, you know, and I work Sundays at church, but, you know, a lot of people go to church. And so I don't drive all that much compared to the average driver. But in my experience, I do, you know, drive every day, and it seems like everyone speeds. Does just 3 out of 4 people speed? Just drive on the average road that says speed limit 30 miles an hour and go 30, and the guy behind you will be on your bumper. You know, I remember a good friend of mine, he owns a Christian liquor store out there in Evergreen, Coconuts. You know, that's a great liquor store, but I don't think they sell French wines there anymore. Oh, no, they probably do. But anyway, he was driving down from Evergreen through Kittredge in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains, and a police officer is following him the whole way. It's about 15 miles, and they get to the bottom, and the officer pulls him over, followed him the whole way, pulls him over, and he says, "Sir, do you know that you were speeding the whole way down the mountain?" And the guy said, "Officer, that speed limit is wrong." That's a good point. A speed limit is wrong. If you drive that speed limit in Colorado, you know, in Colorado, some people still, you know, they have like rifles mounted in the back of their pickup truck. Some people will shoot you if you drive that speed limit down that mountain because it will take 30 minutes to get down instead of the 20 minutes that everyone takes. So 73% say they speed. You know, the laws are not supposed to be arbitrary. And in this country, for some decades, we had our highways were at 55 miles maximum speed limit, 55. And us conservatives were saying, you got to lift the speed limit. It's absurd. No one respects the law because the law is stupid. And the liberals said, oh, if you lift the speed limit, everyone will die and the death rate will skyrocket. Children will be slaughtered on our highways. And we just said, well, you liberals are stupid. Just lift the speed limit. So they lifted the speed limit and the death rate went down significantly since then. Significantly. And so why? Well, one reason is because now a 12-hour trip, you could take a 12-hour trip in 10 and a half hours. That's an hour and a half less on the road for that trip, and it's the hour and a half in which you're the most tired. So, but, you know, that kind of thinking is beyond the ability of a liberal. All right. So anyway, 91% of drivers admit to engaging in at least one risky activity in the last 6 months. The other 9% lie. And 9%, all right. Actually, that 9, okay. All right, here we go. Now, you should generally obey the law. Generally, a Christian should obey the law, generally. But when the law provokes people, then you need to think through what's going on. What do you teach your kids? Let's go to Denver, Colorado, 1-800-836-9278. David, speak your mind.
Hey, Bob.
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
I have a theological. I love your show. I got your manuscript of the plot, and I think it's great. I highly recommend it to all your listeners.
Thank you, sir. Have we ever talked before?
I think we may have in the past.
All right.
But I have a girlfriend who's unfortunately into Joseph Campbell. She worships the religion of Joseph Campbellism.
She's a Campbellite.
Yeah.
Well, remind us about Campbellites.
Well, Joe Campbell is very anti-Christian, which is why I think Bill Moyers interviewed him. It was on a six-part, I think, PBS series a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, this girlfriend asked why Jesus had to die on the cross rather than just die of old age. Couldn't that have paid for the sins?
Is that a valid question? Now, David, that's a valid question by somebody who's considering whether Christianity is reasonable or not.
Yeah.
And the way I would respond is that dying of old age is not punishment for a crime. Like if someone stole her car, killed her mother, and, you know, robbed her money and burned down her home, and then the judge said, okay, you did that? All right, bye. And the judge just let the guy go. Hmm. She would say, what kind of judge are you? She would say the judge is evil because the judge is not insisting on punishment for the crime.
Right.
So, but not only that, there's a complication because Jesus was sinless. And as a sinless human being, he wouldn't have died.
Oh, that's another twist.
Yeah. It's sin that leads to death.
Well, I tried to explain to her that, you know, like it says in the plot, that Jesus is the new Adam who's substituting his death for Adam's sin.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Well, that's right. He died for us. You know, in Adam, all the world died. So that as we're born, we are born with this tendency to sin, and we are broken. And so Jesus died for the sin of Adam and the sin of the world. And when we put our faith in him and trust him, then God accepts Christ's punishment in our stead so that we don't have to experience eternal separation from God because Christ paid the total price for our sin. And a judge who doesn't demand payment for a crime, we know in our heart that that is an evil judge. Like, let's say we find out Scott Peterson, you know, say there's enough proof to convince even a liberal that Scott Peterson murdered his wife, Lacey.
Right.
And then the judge, so there it is, the evidence, he did it. And the judge says, okay, you did it. Goodbye. And everybody says, huh? And the judge says, all right, we know who did it. Goodbye. And he lets Scott Peterson walk out of the courtroom. And there's no punishment. Well, that would be an evil judge. Your friend would be pretty angry at that judge.
Right.
And we know in our hearts, because God made us with a craving for justice. Even though we're broken and we can easily get things backwards, but we still desire justice when people wrong us or when they wrong people we care about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good desire for justice and vengeance.
So is there any significance that that it was during, you know, the Jews were actually had brought Jesus up for blaspheming because he called himself God?
Right.
Now, since God has chosen the Jews as the first people to which he gave his revelation,
yeah,
is there a significance there that it would be, you know, the Jewish people, or is this just sort of an ironic twist that Jesus would be, you know, handed over to the Jews to be crucified?
Well, he was handed over by the Jews to the Romans to be crucified.
Yeah, the Romans governed the Jerusalem and their outlying areas.
Right? Right, exactly. They were the occupiers. And the Jews had no authority to execute anyone at that time. Rome had usurped that authority.
Now, even though Pontius Pilate washed his hands of the crucifixion, he was, in fact, guilty, right?
Yeah, he sure was, and every indication is that he's in hell right now.
Yeah.
But he, you know, I like to point out that I'm not a fan of the jury system because justice by committee is a bad idea, and quite often even an evil judge is more likely to come to a correct verdict than a committee. And Pontius Pilate is the most evil judge in the history of the world. Yet he came to the correct verdict. He said, this man's not guilty. But the jury shouted, crucify him, crucify him. And so just like in our courtrooms today, judges will often know that somebody's innocent or guilty, but, you know, the jury decides otherwise. And the judge, I've had a judge up in Boulder tell me, he said to me in courtroom, on the record, in the courtroom, he said, you know, when you bring up the Nazi judges, I might be guilty of the same thing because we're trying to save unborn children from being killed by abortionists in Boulder, Colorado, and he sentenced me to 4 months in the Boulder County Jail.
That's pretty ironic.
Yeah. So, hey, David, anything else?
Yeah, I was wondering if you might be interested in doing a show on Joseph Campbell sometime. I think Joseph Campbell is a very evil force in the world today because Joseph Campbell treated Christianity as just another mythology.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, after June 27th, Bob and Yurt Live will be airing only in Denver on KLTT and on the internet at kgov.com. Mm-hmm. And so we'll certainly, you know, I'll sure consider that, especially if you were to email me, you know, anything that you thought was relevant to give us a start.
I think there's a lot of young people today who are very influenced by that series that Bill Moyers did with Joseph Campbell, and I think it's very much to the detriment of society today. Mm.
Yeah, you're going back a ways for me for Campbellites, and I don't even remember the essence of his positions. But, okay, I'll be happy to do that. Yeah, we'll do that, David.
All right.
But keep in touch and get us some information.
I will.
Thank you.
All right.
I appreciate the call. God bless you. 1-800-8-N-YARDS, 1-800-836-9278. So how do you know when you are obligated to obey a law and when you don't have to obey a law? How do you know that? How do you determine that? Because if you teach, let's say you teach your kids that you have to obey every law, otherwise you're sinning. And then your kids are with 99.999% of everyone on the highway who's going faster than 55 where it's marked 55. And so you condition your kid to think, well, I'm sinning, but everyone's sinning. And there's just, you can't not. It's just everyone sins. Otherwise, they'll shoot you. What do you do? Bob and Yurt Live, commercial break. Now, is it acceptable for me to say that this is... theoretically, listener-supported radio? Or is that over the top? Should I not say that or what? We're mostly listener-supported radio, but we are theoretically listener-supported radio, except that we're going off the air in six of our seven cities. Yeah, we're listener-supported radio, but it's fun not to take everything too seriously. You know, you take God seriously, morality seriously, and take yourself with a grain of salt. So for those of you listen via KGov, we hope and pray that we'll stay on the air at KGov.com. That's our desire. And we plan, of course, I pastor Denver Bible Church. And once we go off the air on IRN, the Information Radio Network, we plan to continue on the internet with the church, with the sermons, with the Sunday night Bible studies, with the Bible study albums we produce, and, of course, the monthly Bible study albums that we send out. You know, that's part of what's kept us going all this time. Thanks to those of you out there who, you know, check us out, a little hesitant, not sure, read the plot, and then we get just today, oh, the comments we've gotten just this very day about the plot. It's so encouraging. In fact, I had a guy, talked to a guy today who said to me, now I've known this guy for 10 years practically, part of the time we worked together, and he's known all about the plot all that time. And just today he said to me, he called me up from, he lives in another state, and he said, Bob, I just got around to reading the plot. I'm up to chapter 7. And I said, his name is Jerry. I said, Jerry, you're reading the plot? After all these years, he said, yeah, I'm reading it. It's so good. I'm so excited. And I said, well, thank you. That's real encouraging to me. Because we've been saying all this time it's good. I'm glad it is. I hope it is. Money back guarantee. And he was just thrilled, and I was thrilled, encouraged. It is encouraging to hear after, you know, all this time that people are still blessed by it. One 800 8 N Yards. 1-800-836-9278. All right, now, let's see. Is this line two? All right. In Henderson, Indiana, Jeff, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob. I've got a question about 1 Samuel chapter 8. I know you use this chapter to condemn the government's an income tax over the level of 10%.
All right.
Verses 15 and 17 talks about what a king will do and the evil things that a king would do.
Yeah, because basically God is telling the people they're going to get what they're asking for, and as a result, they're going to be taxed 10%, and they're not going to like it. It's going to be bad.
Right. And you use verses 15 and 17 as your reasons for believing that government's taxing people more than 10% as being a sin.
Right.
Okay, therefore, wouldn't verses 11 and 12 of this very same chapter show that a military draft is also sinful?
Ah, well, that's an argument that I need to consider and to look at. You know, I don't think that's an issue we've taken up here on Bob and Your Live. Do you recall, Jeff?
Well, I've heard you express that you're in favor of the draft, but as far as any biblical reason behind it, no.
Yeah. Now, how long ago was that?
I think it was during the beginning of the Iraq War.
I do not recall that. We've had debates about that very topic at Denver Bible Church.
Yeah, you didn't discuss it in length. It was more of an in-passing comment.
Yeah, I don't recall that. I know that in Israel's history, the draft was basically their modus operandi. They needed an army, and they just conscripted the army. But I do not have that issue thought through where I can say, you know, dogmatically it should be this way or that way.
All right.
Do you feel that you have it nailed down?
No, I do not.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested in that issue. And, you know, now that it's come up officially on the air, I think I'd like to put some attention to that and comb through the Bible and see what we can glean from it. You know, not everything that Israel did is righteous, but on the other hand, God has included everything Israel did, and the judges and the prophets and the apostles, he included what they did for a reason. And so generally, if there's an apostle or a prophet doing something or saying something, generally, that means it's approved of by God, but not always.
Yep, but especially not when King Saul did it.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was pretty evil, as was Solomon.
Okay. I had another question on theology, but I know you don't like to discuss theology.
Tell us what the question
maybe I'll
is.
Save it for another time.
Well, tell us what the question is so that we could, you know, feel
it. See whether or not it's appropriate.
Well,
for the
so
show.
That, go ahead, yeah.
We don't want to chase off the non-believers.
Yeah, but, you know, we're about ready to go off the air anyway. So if people in Rochester, New York end up going to hell because we bored them, well, it's only a matter of time anyway.
Okay. Romans, the last verse of Romans chapter 3, Paul says, then do we make law of no effect through faith? Would it not be, but we establish the law? What did Paul mean when he said we establish the law?
Yeah,
that
doesn't
sound like something that Paul would normally say.
Right. Now, of course, your question is getting to the issue that Christians debate of whether or not Christians should keep the law or whether or not we've been delivered from the law. So, right, that's the context in which you're bringing up your question.
Right.
Because you're saying generally you believe that Paul says we've been delivered from the law and that we live by grace and not by law. And,
right. And so when he says this, he seems to be contradicting himself.
Yeah, right. Well, let's say that the view you're taking is correct, right? Even in that view that Christians are to live by grace and not by the law is still active and valid today. And the law is a tool that Christians use to evangelize. We put the unbelieving world under the law, and we tell them that they're guilty. So I use the law as a tool every day in my Christian life, and especially in evangelism, because all the world is guilty.
Right. So okay, I agree with that. However, I don't see that as jiving with the context of chapter 3.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see anything about evangelism in chapter 3.
Well, I'm sure you're right. I'm sure chapter 3 is not about evangelism. But that doesn't mean that it's inappropriate in some other context to point out that the law is holy, valid, and just, and that every aspect of a righteous man's life and godly thinking will establish the law. The law is not done away with, right? Even from the perspective that you're presenting, that if the Christian lives by grace and not by the law, he still establishes the law. For example, when an unbeliever calls in and says, abortion is okay, homosexuality is okay, I don't have to believe in Jesus. I'm a Buddhist. I, through my faith, use the law as firmly and strongly and forcefully as I can use it. And I'm establishing the validity of the law. So, but yeah, I mean, we could talk through it more. And what we'd have to do is really read the whole passage
right
together and talk it through and see exactly what is Paul saying there.
And then we'd really run off the non-believers.
Yeah.
All right, Bob. Thanks.
Thank you, Jeff. God bless you. Appreciate that. 1-800-836-9278 in West Springfield, Massachusetts. Tim, speak your mind.
Hey, what's up? I haven't talked to anybody on the air in like a long time.
Well, I'm glad you called me.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to speak with someone.
Yeah. What's up?
Well, my question is this, and I guess it's more of an opinion.
Yeah.
But it's more of, it's actually right more than wrong, and a lot of reasons, and I'm sure you would agree, is that how do people come up with the idea that the earth is so old? The earth is under I think it's under 9,000, 9 or 8,000 years old.
Well, there's some debate among, you know, conservative Christians and degreed scientists who believe that the Earth is young about exactly how old is it. But there are a number of scientific arguments that could be made that the Earth is only thousands of years old, less than 10,000, perhaps 6,000 to 7,000 years old.
Yeah, because the age of man, if I'm correct, is almost 6,000 years.
Yeah, and Adam was created in the same week. He was created on the sixth day, where God began creation on the first day.
Oh, okay. Yeah, see, that makes sense. Dinosaurs were here before that even started, if I'm right.
No. Dinosaurs were made on the fifth day of creation, just the day before God made Adam and Eve.
Wait,
I have that right, or the sixth day? The mammals. I got to check. But anyway, what evidence is used generally to say that the Earth is billions of years old?
I don't know how they come up with that idea.
Yeah, let's see. No, mammals and all, well, dinosaurs are reptiles, right? But generally, the creatures that live on the land animals were made on the sixth day, the same day as men. So anyway, well, they say that the Earth is billions of years old primarily for one reason, and that's that when people reject God and that God made us, they need to come up with an alternative. And so if they say the Earth is long enough, old enough, like it's a billion years old or a trillion years old, well, then maybe life just started by accident. Because, you know, in a billion years, anything could happen. Really? No, anything can't happen in a billion years. Tim, have you heard where, you know, it had been said that if you put monkeys in a room with a typewriter for long enough, they'd create the complete works of Shakespeare? Have you ever heard that? Liberals have been fond of quoting that for, you know, half a century or so.
I believe it.
Well, they just did that study just about a month ago. They did the study at a university.
How did they come up with that idea?
Well, it's an ignorant idea. But anyway, just to test it.
Yeah, you are right.
They put monkeys in a room with a typewriter. And I think they used a computer. And this is what happened. The monkeys hit the computer with a rock.
Yep.
Then they went to the bathroom on it. And then they got a couple. They actually got some text. Like they got about 700 J's.
Yep.
And a semicolon. And I think a few slashes. And that was it after a month. If you had monkeys in a room with a typewriter for eternity, they would never produce a single line of Shakespeare. NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Now, this is a commercial break. Only those of you listening on the internet can hear this break. You know what I should do real quick? I should go to google.com and see if I could find the school where they did that monkeys and typewriter. Let's see. If I typed in monkeys and typewriter on Google. Is that enough to get me what I'm looking for? Typewriter monkeys, $13.95 each. That doesn't do it. Typewriter, let's see. Da-da-da. Typewriter. It is said the same monk. Let's see. Parable of the monkeys. Monkeys. Now, let me add a little more here because I got... Things I know, monkeys do not equal Shakespeare, May 27th, 2003. According to this BBC article, six monkeys, one typewriter, and 1 month's writing time were not enough to produce the monkey equivalent of Romeo and Juliet. Okay, they didn't even produce a word. But I think they weren't clear on, let's see. Where is this? All right. Oh, here we go. Here's the BBC article. Ah, see that? We're going to come back to the show, and I got it. Ha! Ah. Well, thanks to Google and the internet, and thanks to 3Com. No thanks to Al Gore, I might mention. No thanks to Al Gore. All right, this is at the University of Plymouth. BBC article, Friday, May 9th. Okay. The works of a bizarre experiment has found monkeys cannot write Shakespeare. Now, they call Shakespeare the Bard, B-A-R-D. Are you familiar with that? Anyone out there in the studio audience? What does that mean, the Bard? Now, that's not an expression I'm familiar with. But you know what? I know that people on the internet right now are listening to this, not the people in our radio stations. The Bard is a tribal poet skilled in composing and reciting verses. A composer, singer. We're back. Bob and Yurt Live, 1-800-836-9278. Now, this was a BBC article. Hey, Tim, did you hear about this? This was at the University of Plymouth.
Oh, really?
Yeah, about a month ago or so.
Hmm.
And I got the article right in front of me from May 9th, 2003, the BBC News.
I got to hear this.
A bizarre experiment by a group of students has found that monkeys cannot write Shakespeare.
No, of course not.
I know, but that's been, you know, evolutionists have said this for many decades now, that enough monkeys at enough typewriters for long enough could reproduce all the works of Shakespeare.
Yeah, since when does a family member or ancestor hang on trees?
Well, that is ridiculous. Now, a friend of mine wrote a software program one night on Bob and Yurt Live. We were talking about what if you just took the alphabet and randomly mixed it up? How many times would you have to, like, if you had each letter on a dice, roll the dice to get 26 letters in the right order? And so my friend wrote a software program to try that, and I just pulled it up right now. It's called Evolve. It's just Evolve. That's what it's called. And I'm running it right now as we speak. And it's trying to get the alphabet in the right order 294,000 times every second. That's how fast it's running on my computer.
That's pretty fast.
Yeah, about 300,000 times a second. And I've been running it on and off over the last few years on this computer. And it keeps track of how many times it's run. And let me see here. Thousands, millions, billions. Let's see, 500,000, 500 million, 500 billion. This is run 3 trillion times.
That's quite a bit.
Yeah, 3 trillion times is quite a few times to throw the dice. How many people are there in the world? 5 billion people, 6 billion people? It's gotten 13 in the right order 15 times.
And just tells you that the computer was made right.
Well, that's true, but it's gotten 13 out of 3 trillion times. It's gotten the first 13 letters of the alphabet in the right order, and it's designed to try it 300,000 times per second. And so how long would it take to get all 26? Because the simplest protein molecule, let's say, has maybe a string of 100 amino acids.
Right.
And, oh, by the way, I think I'm saying it wrong. It didn't have to get the first 13 in order. It just had to get any 13 in the right order. In fact, it got the A in the right place when it got 13 right the last time, but it missed the B.
Yep.
And it got the C, D, E, but it missed the F. And so anyway, a protein molecule couldn't work like that. If the second amino acid or the second molecule was wrong, it'd just be broken. It wouldn't work. And maybe the simplest protein molecule has, you know, 100 pieces to it or so. And so at any rate, if this ran, we've done the work mathematically. If this program ran for 100 trillion years on every computer in the world, it wouldn't get all 26 right.
It wouldn't work.
So life, it's absurd to say that life could happen by chance, and then billions of good mutations have happened by chance and have been selected by nature, natural selection. It's inane.
And another thing, too, I mean, honestly, there can only be one creator. I don't know why they don't even look at it that way.
Yeah, there could be one God. If there is more than one, then whoever you're talking about is not God. There's obviously one original God.
Right. There is only one, and there can only be one God.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know why people don't understand that.
Yeah, and that God has to be eternal because something had to always be here.
Right.
Because you can't make something out of absolute nothingness. That's make-believe. And he had to have a lot of power and a lot of wisdom and brilliance. And he has to be just because we know right from wrong when we're born.
Mm-hmm.
And his law is written on our heart, our conscience. Even the most evil man like Adolf Hitler, if you were to steal his woman from him, he would feel wronged. Even the gang members who deny right from wrong, if you take their money or their drugs, they feel wronged.
Yep.
So their very lives show the lie to their philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Tim, thank you so very much.
You're welcome.
Really appreciate the call. And Tim asked about the old Earth. Of course, a lot of scientists believe the Earth is billions of years old. And there are many, many, many scientists with advanced degrees who believe that the Earth is very young. And if the Earth is 5 billion years old, well, where's all the lava? Where's the lava? Because we know about how much lava is produced every year. And there's about 4 billion years, 5 billion years of missing lava on the Earth. Where is it all? It should be here. Where's all the nickel that comes from meteorites? Where's all the nickel? Where are the river deltas that should be millions of years old? Where are they? Where's all the sediment in the oceans? There's not billions of years worth of sediment in the oceans. It's not there. The elements that are washed off the continents, like copper, nickel, and just name an element that runs off from rainwater and erosion and flows into the seas. And you can measure how much is flowing into the seas on average each year and how much is currently dissolved in the seawater. And you see that the oceans have not been there for a billion years. So there's 4 to 5 billion years missing of virtually everything. It's just missing. And how about the magnetic force of the Earth and the half-life of the magnetic field of the Earth, that the Earth's magnetic field is getting weaker. We've been measuring it for a long time. It's getting weaker. Well, it's getting weaker because apparently the Earth has an iron core, or at least a molten iron core, an iron core, and there's electricity that's circulating in the center of the Earth. And that produces heat, and there's heat loss, friction, and the magnetic field of the Earth is like a giant electromagnet, and it's gradually getting weaker. Well, that means it had to be fully charged at some point. How far back? In the recent past. You know, the sun pulls in all the junk in the solar system, all the dust and the meteorites, the meteors, they get pulled in by the sun. It's like a giant vacuum cleaner. But yet there's so much out there, and there are so many short-term comets? What's with the short-term comets in the solar system? Comets that should only, because of their orbits and the decay, we could tell they're only going to survive for a short period of time. And there's so many out there. Why? Why are they out there? Well, the universe is very young. How about the moon of Jupiter called Io? A little moon, and NASA sends a ship past Io, takes a photograph of it, catches a volcano erupting on little Io. That freaked out the evolutionists, the evolutionary astronomers, who figure that Io's maybe 5 billion years old. And it's so small, if it was molten when it was formed, by now it should be a cold, solid rock. No more volcanoes on it. And of course, after the fact, NASA has to say, oh yeah, well, we knew that. Well, they didn't know that. And they have to come up with a reason why it's still hot. It'd be like if somebody, if you went on a camping trip a year ago and you had a campfire and you went a year later and you found the campfire and you touched the rocks and they were still hot. You say, well, what's with that? You say, oh, well, it's still hot. We had a campfire a year ago and it's still hot. And somebody would say, no, it's not still hot, you nitwit. Somebody had to be here, just left a few hours ago. Oh, no, I think it's still hot from when we were here a year ago. Did you go to public school? How stupid can you be? So with Io still a volcano, that's an indication that the solar system is still young. But, oh, yeah, things like, you know, no craters where there should be craters. If the universe, if the solar system is 5 billion years old, where are the craters? Where have all the craters gone? And now there's a lot of craters on the moon, and that's an interesting topic in and of itself. In Noah's flood, and in the beginning, hey, we're going off the air soon in a couple cities. If you're interested in science and creation, Noah's Flood, check out In the Beginning by Dr. Walt Brown. That is such a cool book. It's absolutely one of the best creationist books ever written. In the Beginning by Dr. Walt Brown. See what you think of that. And then call up sometime. Even when we go off the air in your city, we'll still be on the air in Denver, Colorado. We'll still be on the air on the internet at kgov.com. So please call us. Please, it'll be fun. You know, we'll have a smaller audience. And we may focus more on some Denver issues and Denver Bible Church. Because, you know, it might take on more of the flair of a local talk show. But if you're listening from another city, give us a call with your issues, your questions. And we'll have fun. We'll take it on. Maybe we'll expand a little into theology a little more. What do you think? I'm asking the studio audience. You think we should? Everybody's saying no. I think you're right. I think you're right. We do the news. We get unbelievers to tune in. They're interested in the news, and pretty soon they find out, well, what's this Bible stuff you stick in there now and then? And they don't like it. And then after about usually average of 7 weeks, they get saved. Ha! We tricked you into the kingdom. That's because if it was straightforward, you'd still be going to hell. So, at any rate, we're out of time. Hey, this is Bob Inyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.